As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Yo, yo, welcome to a post-game edition of the Forum Club. I'm your host, Yovan Buha, Lakers beat writer for The Athletic. And the Lakers finally won a game. It feels like it's been forever. They had lost three in a row, four of their last five, but they defeated the Orlando Magic 114-103 on Monday night to improve to 36-25 and 19-12 on the road, maintaining their number five spot in the West. This game, it was in contention for worst loss of the year. I really can't, even with LeBron out, I can't think of a worse loss than this season. I'm looking at the Lakers schedule right now. I probably should have looked at this earlier, but Detroit loss at Detroit was pretty bad. The Washington loss at home was pretty bad for how Washington was playing at the time. The New Orleans loss was pretty bad just in terms of how badly they got destroyed. I mean, the Clippers loss, but that was a Clippers team that was close, you know, no AD, no LeBron. And then some stretches of that New York game were pretty rough. But this, to me, probably would have been the worst loss of the year had the Lakers lost this game. Even without LeBron James, you know, no excuse to lose to probably the worst or second worst team in the NBA right now in the Orlando Magic in terms of who's available on the roster. They traded away their three best players at the trade deadline. This is like a G League level roster when you're looking at it. And a lot of guys who should not be starting or taking double-digit shots that were starting and taking double-digit shots. And for this team to just crush the Lakers the way they did in the second quarter, that was hands down the worst quarter of the season. You know, the Lakers, what's weird is they actually didn't even play that bad. You know, they still shot 43.5%. They had seven turnovers, which is high, you know, pretty high for a quarter. But with this team, you know, that tends to happen. They tend to have one quarter in a game where they have like five to eight turnovers, and this happened to be that quarter. But it was more so the defense, where Orlando shot 73.7%. They were hitting a lot of shots that probably weren't sustainable. You had four guys with six or more points, and they just caught on fire. But I thought Orlando, the way they scrambled defensively, the turnovers that they forced, I mean, AD's turnovers, he had three of the seven, and they were just pretty bad. It was basically like, you know, pokeaways and him dribbling off of his foot and not able to catch passes and them going out of bounds and stuff. Like, it was just not good. So that was, to me, the most discouraging part of this game. Aside from that, when you actually break it into four parts, the Lakers outscored the Magic and the other three quarters. They really took control of the game in the fourth quarter, led by Dennis Schroeder, who had 21 points, 10 assists, and had a 9-0 personal run in that middle of the fourth to really put this game away and give the Lakers a double-digit cushion that they ended up winning by 11. But, I mean, takeaways from this game, AD looked a lot more comfortable. He hit his first three shots, started, I believe, 4 of 5. And finished 8 of 15, 18 points, 8 rebounds. As I mentioned, had some pretty bad turnovers, had 5 turnovers overall compared with 3 assists. You never want to see that, even as a big man. You always want to try to have more assists than turnovers, especially when you're a high usage big man and a big man with the playmaking that AD has. But still, like, AD, I think, is progressing offensively, continues to look more comfortable, and defensively had a couple blocks, you know, had 8 rebounds. Like, I think he's just rounding into form, looking more like AD. And this was a only played 31 minutes. Frank Vogel said before the game that his minutes restriction has been lifted. He is back to, they're trying to be responsible with his minutes, but he's just back to normal. And 31 minutes is a normal outing for AD. You know, maybe a little bit on the low end, but the Lakers have been relatively conservative with his minutes this season in general. So maybe on a normal night, you would have seen that in the 32 to max 34 range. But I think somewhere in the low to mid 30s feels appropriate. So AD is not fully back, but looking more and more comfortable. Granted, some of that was probably opponent-based. We'll see what he looks like against Washington on Wednesday. But I think progress from AD continues game by game, and I think that's an encouraging sign. Dennis, you know, only 2 turnovers, had 2 in that second quarter, but 10 assists to 2 turnovers, really, really good. Dennis has been working on cutting down his turnovers. He said after the game he's actually been working with Jason Kidd and picking his brain and talking to him a lot on the sidelines and during timeouts and stuff. And Jay Kidd has been a actual, you know, sneaky influence on Dennis. And you know, I've wondered about that, just Jason Kidd's influence on LeBron, on Dennis, on maybe Talen. Like, you know, he is one of the greatest point guards, one of the greatest floor generals of all time, you know, certainly in the top 10, if not the top 5. And having a guy like that as a resource for your primary ball handlers and playmakers, like, that's just invaluable. So I think certainly Dennis has played better as of late. He has been cutting down the turnovers, and he ended up being a game best plus 23 in terms of plus minus. So a really good performance from Dennis. And again, had that nine point stretch in the middle of the fourth where he really distanced the Lakers and kind of put the game away. Trez, who did not play in the second matchup against Dallas over the weekend, ended up playing 23 minutes, had 18 points, 5 rebounds, 4 of them offensive. And this was a Trez game. And I've kind of said this before, but I do think this was a more of a Trez matchup than a Mark matchup. Like, Trez just kills lottery teams. As someone who has been watching him for multiple years now, like, when you're playing a and I don't want to call them undersized, because they have Mo Bamba, who's huge, and Wendell Carter Jr. is also bigger than Trez. But I mean, there's no Rudy Gobert, Nikola Jokic, Joel Embiid in this matchup. It's not against an elite team. Like, Trez will just eat against those type of lottery, you know, bottom feeder teams. And that's what he did tonight. And you know, a nice bounce back effort from him. You know, obviously didn't play last game. What wasn't great in that first Dallas game. And I think Trez has been very up and down and more down than up in April. But I think this was a nice bounce back from him. And, you know, after the game, talked about just having to accept his role. And if that means on a certain night not playing, as Frank Vogel chose last game against Dallas, then, you know, Trez has to accept that. And I think that shows growth and maturity on his part, as I don't think he had that mindset necessarily last season with the Clippers. So I think Trez deserves credit. I think the coaching staff deserves credit. And I'm sure LeBron and AD, as both the leaders of the team and guys Trez is familiar with, and you know, they obviously shared the clutch connection. I think kind of all around a more positive situation than it was last season. I guess besides that, Andre Drummond had 13 points, 11 rebounds. I thought he was, you know, only took 8 shots, and honestly, that's probably more appropriate for Dre. In the second half, Frank Vogel kind of downsized and was going with smaller lineups with 80 at the 5 some. You know, Trez kind of as the lone big, which, you know, he normally is, but some smaller lineups, and Andre didn't play as much in the second half. And I think that's why you saw probably fewer shot attempts from him, but 8 shot attempts in 25 minutes, I think, is more appropriate than some of the shooting attempts, you know, some of the shooting numbers we've seen from Drummond in the past, be it, you know, 12 shots, 15 shots, like, that's a little high. We knew that was going to come down with 80 in the lineup, but I think Andre is rounding into form, and him being a guy who's going to get you 13 points, 11 rebounds, a steal, you know, 0 assists, but 0 turnovers. You live with that. Like, I think Andre is starting to adjust to AD, starting to adjust to a relatively smaller role, both offensively and just in the rotation in general, because we know AD's going to play some at the five come playoff time. He played 60% of his minutes at the five last postseason. I don't think it's going to end up being that high, just given the center depth of the team and, you know, Andre Drummond on paper probably being better than Dwight Howard or JaVale McGee last year. But I do expect AD to get at least 30% of his minutes, if not maybe 40% at the five. And that's going to end up being, you know, a solid 15 to 20 minutes at the five come playoff time. So AD squared, the other AD, is going to have to accept a smaller role, because I don't think Frank Vogel is going to outright bench Montrezl Harrell and Marcus Gasol. There might be a matchup that calls for that. Maybe it's the Nets in the finals, or maybe it's the Clippers or something in the semifinals or conference finals. But I think for the most part, like, the Lakers are probably going to roll with three centers, sort of, with AD being that third guy. And you're going to see Andre Drummond probably come down to 15 to 20 minutes, maybe low 20s, depending on the matchup. So I think Andre Drummond is rounding into form.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Solid game from Kuz. 5-9 shooting, 14 points, 7 rebounds. It was a plus 17, second best on the team. So I don't want to read too much into this game, just because it literally was one of the worst teams in the league. And this was a game the Lakers should have won. It was a game that was way too close for comfort, you know, deep into the fourth quarter before Dennis Schroeder took over and the Lakers closed this one out. AD hit his first three since February 6th against Detroit. And that's really it for me in terms of this game. Like, I just, you know, I look at it, 11 turnovers with 7 of those coming in the second quarter. That means 4 turnovers the rest of the three quarters. Like, you know, pretty good execution from the Lakers on that end. 56 points in the paint, 20 fast break points. Like, again, Orlando is one of the worst teams in the league right now, if not arguably the worst. And I think that Lakers should have won this game by 11, if not more. So that's all I'm really going to read into this. But let's get into the open forum. It's been a few episodes since I've taken questions. So I want to get back into it. Let's see what madness is going on in my mentions right now. It has been a crazy place. Okay, so this one is from @NickCN_. Thoughts on the AD Drummond pairing? And actually, before I get into this question, I do want to note, after the game, Dennis Schroeder said that LeBron James is close to returning. Before the game, Frank Vogel had reiterated that LeBron was out indefinitely. So a little bit of confusion there. I'm going to lean Dennis's way, just because I think if you're looking at who said what, like, Dennis is kind of an open book, and you know, I've said this on the podcast, like, you know, speaks his mind and sometimes almost too much. But I'm going to believe that version of events versus Frank Vogel, who I think is, you know, probably the Lakers are trying to be, strategic in what they say. And sometimes there's a setback or something, and if you say a guy's returning on a certain date or within a certain time frame, it looks worse if he doesn't. So staying out indefinitely gives the Lakers all the flexibility and freedom to dictate when LeBron returns. And of course, you know, LeBron has a big say in that. But I think, you know, not having that out there and putting that pressure on LeBron of, oh, he's returning Friday or Sunday or next week or whatever, I think that's just, you know, best for both parties. So I'm curious if the Lakers update their stance on sort of LeBron's status after Dennis's comments, or maybe they push back on it or whatever. But I thought that was interesting. So I think that's worth noting before I get into the open forum part of the show. But thoughts on the AD Drummond pairing? I think it works. I think it's a very matchup based tandem. I do think that they're most likely going to start together. I do think that part of bringing in Andre, you know, there were certain promises made. I'm assuming, you know, being the full-time starter and not ever being benched was, you know, somewhere in that promise, right? Like, I mean, clearly he was promised to be the starter, but I don't know how well he would take to a benching in the playoffs. So I do think Andre you know, there might be some stretches in the playoffs where it's just AD and Drummond as the two centers. And it's just, they're splitting it, you know, 24 minutes, 24 minutes. And then AD plays them with the four. And you know, that's the center rotation, because I think the Lakers had so much success with AD at the five, with you know, Keith at the five for small stretches, playing smaller, you know, only playing one of Dwight or JaVale, you know, usually Dwight, or just not playing either of them, that it's hard for me to see them deploying three to four centers consistently. Now, I know I just said they probably are going to have to play three centers, just because it's going to be hard to bench both Mark and Trez. You know, I think just politically keeping guys engaged and happy, you know, there might be a series where it warrants it, but I do think they'll find some time for it. But I mean, you're not going to have a 15 minute situation or, you know, whatever, 18 minutes kind of split evenly, or I guess it'd be 16 minutes. So I don't see that, but I do see maybe Trez or Mark getting like 8 to 10 minutes, and then the rest is AD and Drummond splitting it. But specifically on the pairing, I think defensively it works, you know, because of how good AD is. And, you know, I guess it gets confusing. I'm specifying Anthony Davis. Drummond, I've been impressed with his defense. His defense is better than I thought. I do think sometimes he is late on rotations. He doesn't make the right rotation. If you see, like, sometimes he will make the initial rotation, but then not make the second or third rotation, you know, where he runs out to the three-point line, right? And maybe he contains that guy and that guy swings it, but then Drummond's supposed to scramble and get back to the paint and, you know, get back to his guy, or maybe someone else has taken his guy. Now there's another guy open near the rim and like he has to take that guy. And he doesn't always make those decisions or you know, either make them quickly or make the right decision. So AD is the ultimate eraser. He is, like, you know, arguably the best defender in the NBA. He arguably the best rim protector, the most versatile defender. He can guard wings. He can guard bigs. He can even guard guards. Like he could just defend, you know, one through five. Like he's a unicorn defensively with the size and length and athleticism and foot speed and all that to just contain anybody. So AD makes everybody better defensively. He makes Trez better defensively. He makes Mark better defensively. He makes Drummond better defensively. So defensively, I'm optimistic. I do think that in certain matchups, especially smaller matchups, which again, could be the Nets, could be the Clippers, could be the Suns, depending on if they downsize. Those matchups are going to be tough for the Drummond-AD pairing, because I just don't think Drummond will fare well against a five-out offense. You know, like maybe he makes them pay on the other end, but I don't really think you want to be running your playoff offense through Andre Drummond. So I think for, you know, for the Lakers, the defensive end is going to be fine in most matchups, as long as there's a center on the floor, because of how good and versatile AD is defensively. The offensive end is still the end that I think they're kind of figuring out, because Andre Drummond, and you know, I've said this before, does operate in some of the same spaces that AD does. And AD talked about it in the first game that he was getting relegated to the right side of the floor when he prefers the left side of the floor. And you know, we've seen the Lakers adjust and get him back onto the left side and you know, run those post-ups and ISOs and dribble handoffs and different things for him on that side and pin downs and stuff. But I still think that at the end of the day, the Lakers' best lineups statistically over the past two seasons have featured Anthony Davis at the five. Anthony Davis at the five is a matchup nightmare, because there are few players you can put at the five that can match up with him and hold their own. Most centers are too slow for him. And then if you're going to downsize, that guy's probably not strong enough and too small for him. So I think the AD Drummond pairing, I guess to kind of close and answer this question, like, it can work. I think it can work well. We saw a similar blueprint with JaVale and Dwight, even though I would say both guys were certainly better defenders. I would say arguably more mobile, at least in Dwight's, probably in Dwight's case, in terms of like foot speed and stuff. But like they just were, I think, had more of a presence defensively in terms of they're better rim protectors. I think more active and mobile overall, even though Drummond's probably more athletic, I guess, but in some regards it's close. But I just felt like like Dwight and JaVale took up more space. And when they were in the middle of the paint with their arms out and you had AD on the floor, it was just like, how the hell are you going to score against those two guys protecting the paint, protecting the rim? I think Drummond provides that more than Montrezl Harrell does, and arguably maybe more than Marcus Gasol, just because Mark is more of a positional, cerebral defender who isn't as active with his hands in that way. Like, yes, he's active in close quarters, and he'll strip you and he'll tip the ball away and then maybe he'll block you on the way up. But he's not that JaVale where, you know, JaVale would kind of put his arms out and just take up the entire paint and really wall that off. Like that is not necessarily Marc Gasol. So I do think Drummond provides maybe more of that than Marc or Trez does, but still not at the level of JaVale or Dwight. So where I'm going with that is, like, we have seen it work with JaVale and Dwight, but we also saw those guys get benched in the playoffs in certain series and certain matchups. So I think ultimately the AD Drummond pairing will work. I think he has certain strengths that Mark and Trez don't necessarily provide. And again, he was promised to start. So, you know, that's just the cost of doing business. He's going to start. He's going to play at least 10 to 15 minutes a night in the playoffs with AD. But I think when it comes to crunch time, when it comes to crucial games, crucial possessions, crucial stretches of games, it's going to be AD at the five, most likely, in those key moments. And that's going to be the Lakers' best lineups.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Let's get to one more question. Okay, this one is from Dodger Connor. How has AD been feeling? And since the jump shot was working, are his legs finally warming up? So I touched on this a little bit earlier, but I think it's worth getting into. Like, I personally have noticed the progress in AD. Without even looking at the box score and without even looking at his production, I would just say that the minute totals have been impressive. You know, going from 17 to 28 to 31, like that alone is a win. And having the minutes restriction gone by game three, over the past couple of weeks, we've been asking Frank Vogel about the minutes restriction and what's it going to be like when AD gets back. And he had made it sound like there was going to be some type of minutes restriction for a few games, and that the first couple games at a minimum, AD was going to be playing only 15 minutes. And he eclipsed that in game one. It got bumped up to 25 in game two, and now just played 31 with the minutes restriction completely lifted in game three. So I think I consider that a win, just, you know, that by itself, because who knows, Wednesday against Washington, maybe he plays 33 or 34 minutes. And like, AD is ramping up into shape, looking better. He's still, I think really the bigger issue is not necessarily his physical shape or conditioning or even his jump shot. Like, it looked a lot better tonight. I think it's going to continue to sharpen and look better. It's more so the continuity and chemistry. And AD was talking about after the game where it's just like there are guys cutting in certain spots that he's not used to, and or guys flaring out or spotting up when he thinks they're going to cut. And just the timing of pick and rolls and handoffs and, you know, off ball screening actions, like all those things are still being fine tuned by AD because he missed so much time. The Lakers have had basically two identities since AD last played. They had the LeBron identity with no AD, and then they formed a new identity with no AD and no LeBron. So there's been iterations, and, you know, guys' roles have fluctuated so much. There's been so much different lineup configurations in terms of the starters. Because again, it's not just been LeBron and AD. Pretty much everybody, as I said a couple of weeks ago, I mean, they had that stretch there for 2 weeks where pretty much everybody, an entire roster, it was 14 of 15 guys missed the game for one reason or another. Ejection, suspension, COVID protocols, and then, you know, some forms of injuries. Like 14 of the 15 guys, the only guy that didn't miss any time was Ben McLemore. So you look at that, you look at pretty much everyone on the rotation has started except for Montrezl Harrell, but even he started, you know, a few weeks ago during the Damian Jones era. So like everyone's kind of been in and out of the starting lineup, in and out of the rotation. It's not just even AD kind of adjusting to everybody and everybody adjusting to him. It's guys are still adjusting to each other and, you know, lineups and rotations that we just haven't been able to see consistently because of COVID and injuries and the schedule and the lack of practice time and all this different stuff. So I think to bring it back to AD, he's looking better. He's playing more minutes. His jumper is looking better. He is looking more like himself. I like the spots the Lakers put him in against Orlando more. I think they're going to continue to do that against Washington. I mean, this is a really nice week for the Lakers with Washington. Then you got Sacramento Friday. Then you got Toronto on Sunday. Like, this is a week they should go 4-0 or 3-1 at a minimum. But I think with the urgency that they need, with LeBron potentially returning at the end of the week, like, this should be a week they go 4-0. And going 4-0 would likely preserve that number five seed for them, set them up to play Denver, and then likely play Utah, and then only have to play one of the Clippers or Suns, who, for my money, are the two best non-Laker teams in the West. You know, if I was ranking the top three teams in the West that aren't the Lakers, I would go Clippers 1, Suns 2, Jazz 3. So if you know, in one path, if they've dropped to 6 or 7, they're probably playing Suns or Clippers in round 1, then Suns or Clippers in round 2, and then the Jazz in the conference finals. Like, that is probably the Lakers' path. If they stay at 5, it's Denver in round 1, who they already beat Denver with Jamal Murray. Now they're going to be playing them without Jamal Murray. Then you play Utah likely in round 2, and then only one of Clippers or Jazz in the conference finals. And of course, someone could crash the party and beat one of those teams, but I'm projecting what it looks like. So I think if you could only play two of the three teams of you know, Jazz, Clippers, Suns, that's a win for the Lakers, because those are, in my opinion, you know, the three best teams in the West that aren't the Lakers. So if you can avoid one of them and only play two, like, that's a win. So I think the Lakers are going to have urgency the rest of the week. I think this is a really good week to pile up some wins, get some momentum, continue to play AD more, get him more involved in the offense, work on your continuity, work on your lineups, your rotations, potentially get LeBron back towards the end of the week on Friday or Sunday. So I think things are looking up for the Lakers. Potentially would have been a dud tonight. You know, would have been really disappointing. This podcast would have had a slightly different tone, just of like, this probably being the worst loss of the season, given the opponent and really the stakes too, right? Because at this point of the season, I mean, AD called this game and Wednesday's game must wins. And that word does not get thrown around a lot with this Lakers team. I mean, if anything, they've been on the opposite end of the spectrum, where they've almost been too confident, in my opinion, at times, where, you know, seeding doesn't matter and this and that. And like, I think for AD to come out and say he felt that these two games were must wins, like, that was him kind of calling out the team and putting urgency on it. And he delivered tonight. The team delivered tonight. It wasn't pretty, which has been a trend recently, but the Lakers need all the wins they could get at this point. You know, you take it and you move on. So thank you guys so much for listening. As always, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Jovan Buha. That's at JovanBuha. You can subscribe to this podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, The Athletic, wherever you're listening to it right now. And if you've not subscribed to The Athletic, you can do so by going to theathletic.com or subscribing off of one of my stories, which would be much appreciated on my end. Helps me out, makes me look good. So thank you guys so much. I'll be back actually tomorrow with the weekly pod with Bill Oram and Anthony Slater. I will talk to you then.